I invite you to turn, please, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark 10. We'll read verse 13 through verse 16, which will be our text for today. Mark 10, verse 13 says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them, and blessed them." In our society, we are familiar with the dual concept of strength yet tenderness. Solid as a rock, yet sensitive. We call such people gentle giants. They may appear mean, aggressive, overbearing, and simply huge sometimes in comparison, and that scares us. Yet their disposition is kind and sweet. In reality, they are gentle people. It is written, and I quote, "World records list him as the tallest natural giant who ever lived, the strongest man who ever lived. Angus McGaskill was a kind and gentle man who often helped his family." Again, Andre the Giant will always be remembered as the eighth wonder of the world. He is known and loved by fans across the globe as the gentle giant. End of quote. So we understand the terminology gentle giant. Further within this concept, we include more than just size and strength. We also think of those who have position and power or influence. A president of the United States might be strong and stern, harsh and unwavering when need to be, but still gentle and kind. Your parents might seem like drill sergeants or commandants of a prison camp, but in reality they are loving, kind, and gentle. It's my desire to direct your attention to a very powerful and strong individual. He is successful, secure, and unbending. He is pointed, truthful, and administers justice. Yet he is more loving than anyone you know. He is indeed a giant in nearly every sort of the word, but he is also gentle in every aspect of the word. I want to talk to you today about the gentle Jesus. The gentle Jesus. That's the title of my message. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, for those who are able to be with us. And we ask that you bless your word to our hearts, that we might be strengthened by it. We might be encouraged as we learn more about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do pray for any in our midst that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to you. And Lord, we pray that they might see a glimpse of him today that perhaps they've not seen before, and they would repent and believe. We pray for those who could not be with us due to sickness and providential hindrance. Lord, you know every need. We commit them before you and pray that your will be accomplished in their lives as well. And so, Lord, as the word goes out here and around the world today, we pray that it would go forth in your power and that your will would be accomplished. And you promised that in your word, so we thank you for what you're going to do. And so we commit this time to you, and we love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to think about the gentle Jesus today, and I pray that it will be a blessing to your heart. 3 points I want to talk about today. One is the points in the text. If you'll notice here in our passage, verse 13 through verse 16, there's a discussion of individuals who are termed children. They brought young children to him. And then Jesus said, suffer the little children. Now, the word children within the New Testament scripture is a very common term that we find there. Means an infant. It means a babe. Could be a child, actually a child of any age, but a child of youth especially. In the parallel passage in the book of Matthew chapter 19, the word children is used there, and the Greek word is the same as is found in our passage. And that's true in both of those verses in the book of Matthew. But in the book of Luke, where we find this same information revealed for us there, in Luke chapter 18, The word infants is used, and it's a different term than the word children that we find in Mark and Matthew. And in Luke chapter 18 and verse 15, he uses the word infants. That word infants means a child, an infant, or a babe. And it can even be used of a fetus. But it's a child who is partially grown. And then in the next verse, where he said, suffer little children, there in Luke, he uses the word back again that's found in our text for little children. And what we find is a description, really, and the use of the term is across the board here for these little children. I suggest them to you as you look into our text that we are talking about young children. And in verse 16, it says that he took them up in his arms. And generally, we do that with young children. We have a baby here today. We can take that child up in our arms. And we have Shannon and Josh and Katie, younger children. They're very easy. You can scoop up. But it's harder to scoop up Miss Hannah because she's a teenager. You wouldn't consider her as being a young child. And so we see that these young children were being brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a description that we have. So in your mind's eye, when you picture this illustration, I wouldn't suggest to you that you would picture someone of age and as a teenager or things like that. I would see the young children, perhaps a baby or two that the parents brought. Perhaps the toddlers and the very young children. And so I see that we find here in the passage about these children, and they were children who were brought by the parents or the guardians. They brought them. Again, in my mind, young children, little children, ones that are not going to be able to navigate the city on their own. They brought them to Jesus. And so you get the idea of the kind of children that I believe the passage speaks of within the text. And so these children would be very young, of course, likely from the age of babes or infants up to perhaps 7 or 8 years of age, probably not much further than that. So keep that in your mind's eye, what we have. So they brought these young children to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the disciples were thinking, and it says that they thought that, well, they rebuked those that brought them. And what it is, they considered that, well, this is just not suitable. Here's the Lord. He's in the midst of his ministry. He's teaching and he's talking and working with individuals. He doesn't have time for all these little kids. And so the disciples provoked thought and prevented the bringing of the children unto them and rebuked the parents. Don't bring these kids. We don't have time for that. You know, that's kind of the idea. And so the disciples were thinking, and sometimes that's a bad thing when we think, isn't it? But no, we really want to think and we want to be right in our thinking. But they thought that this would be the right thing. But Jesus, it says in the next verse, verse 14, when he saw it, he was much displeased. And so he didn't agree with their perception. And sometimes when you see individuals, even in our society, individuals of business and position and power, you know, they're the shakers, they're the movers, and they don't have time. You know, they don't bother me with that. And so I can't remember if it was President Kennedy, but they had pictures of the kids playing around his desk and things like that. Well, that's a good thing. He still had time for his kids. But you would think the President of the United States said, well, you know, I just don't have time. Sorry. And so we have an idea of what the disciples may be thinking and saying, well, he can't be hindered by all these kids coming around. So they rebuked the parents, and Jesus was much displeased about that. He did not agree. And so really, that's really what we find in the text, this passage bearing out different perspectives and the response to them. Now, Jesus used this opportunity to teach, and that will unfold in the remainder of the message. But what we do find here, before we continue on to the second point, is that Jesus used a little child in his analogy. You glance back at verse 15, and it says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So he took this opportunity to take these little children and say, I want to teach you something about the kingdom of God. I want to tell you something about salvation. And so Jesus used a little child in his analogy. So when you think about the people that we're discussing, the characteristics of little children, what might they be? And I'm going to suggest unto you 4 characteristics, and we'll make a spiritual application in a little later on. But just think within the text, the little children being brought to Jesus, he says, you have to have the kingdom as a little child. 4 things I see about children, and I think that Jesus is referring to. One would be the matter of simple. Children are simple, aren't they? They're not very complex. They're not very complicated. Now, I know there's the prodigies, you know, that are figuring out quantum theory, you know, when they're five and speak six languages and stuff like that. But, you know, that's very rare, isn't it? Generally, in and of it, overall, children are very simple. They're very basic. And so if they know their colors and they know some numbers and you can teach them some simple things, that's a good thing. They don't think complex. They think simple. That's what children are, simple. You say, well, simple-minded is a negative thing. Not when you're children, because that's what children are. We have to develop. We have to grow. So that little baby there, I'm sure that child is not thinking about, oh, I wonder what the preacher's saying today. Very simple thinking. Children think simply, don't they? Generally in and of itself. Secondly, I submit unto you a characteristic of a child is trusting. A child is very trusting, confident in others. That's what I mean by trusting. Children will trust. Children will trust parents. Children will trust adults generally. And unless they're trained otherwise, children will trust people in position and authority. And of course, we know in our society that can be a very difficult thing because some people will abuse that position of trust and authority, and how sad that is when that happens. But children are very trusting, aren't they? And frankly, I'm glad that my children trusted us as parents. And if we told them something, they could trust us. We could be depended upon. And so children are simple. I think that they're trusting. But then thirdly, I submit unto you that children are believing. Because they trust, they believe. You can tell a child about anything, they're going to believe it. And I remember years and years ago, I was taking my nephew. We were going somewhere, I don't remember where, and there was a person standing over there in the parking lot smoking. We were driving by, and I said, look, that person's face is on fire. And he said, oh, wow, look at that. You know, I mean, he was really amazed. He thought this person's face was on fire. And I, of course, I was just kidding with him, but he believed it. Children will believe very quickly, won't they? Generally because they're very trusting. And so if a person in position of trust tells them something, they believe that. And that's the problem with in our society where you have, you teach your children not to talk to strangers because they trust adults. And an adult says, hey, I got, you want to come see this puppy? Do you want this puppy? And they'll go, yeah, yeah. And because they trust, they believe, and they'll react. They'll get in a car, and then it's a bad thing. So, but children are like that, aren't they? Aren't you glad that children are believing? Now, I know as parents, sometimes we can fool with them and have fun with them and be foolish. But they're very they will believe very quickly and readily. And I'm glad for that. So when you tell them, don't touch the burner, it's hot, they'll believe you. And generally they will. Sometimes they try it out. But, you know, don't go in the street, dangerous, they believe you. And so aren't you looking at the text and you find the children are simple, they're trusting, they're believing, and the last characteristic I submit unto you is they're responsive. Generally, children will do what's asked. Now, I know there's always a rebellious streak in people of all ages, but a child will generally do what's asked. And why? Because they trust and they believe and they'll do it. And so that's a child. And that's the characteristic of a child. Now, Jesus uses this opportunity to say, kingdom of God must be received as a little child. So we'll make that application later. But think of these four points as for children. And I think you'll agree with me there. So we find the points in the text. You see the story. But let me introduce to you the second point, and that is the picture in the text. And I picked that up out of verse 16. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them and blessed them. What kind of picture you see there? What kind of story do you glean from this story, what you read within the text? What we have presented is a kind, gentle Jesus. Sometimes as preachers, what we'll do is we just preach hellfire, damnation, we spit and slobber and hang from the rafters and all that, and we just make people afraid of God. Now, I think you ought to be afraid of God. There ought to be a fear of God. There ought to have a reverence of God. But at the same time, sometimes we can convey God, we can convey Jesus Christ, His Son, as just this mean tyrant, sovereign God of the universe, which He is. But we sometimes forget the gentle Jesus. The Scripture talks about that a bruised reed He will not even break. I mean, you say, but He's God. He's an all-consuming fire. Absolutely. And we'll see some verses that pertain to those characteristics and qualities of strength and power and authority. But He's gentle too. Here is the God of the universe scooping up children in his arms. If you, in your mind's eye, if I had a seat out here and sit down and picture a child come up, get on the lap, give him a little hug. Jesus, it talks about he puts his hands upon them. And Matthew talks about they brought him because they wanted him to pray over him. And so there, in my mind's eye, I see him sitting down, putting a child on his lap, giving him a little hug, touching their head, praying over them, and just being gentle with them. Can you see that in your mind's eye? That's a gentle thing, isn't it? And so we see this picture in the text of the gentle Jesus. Let me elaborate just briefly and pick out some things of which we'll make application in just a few moments as well. He picks them up in his arms. Here's the God of the universe has time for children, little children. And so he picks them up in his arms. Four things emanate from this very quickly. In this picture, I see that he is gentle. He's not physically abusive. Some children are scared to death of adults because every time they walk in the house, they get beat by mom or by dad. And they flinch if you stand by a child and you raise your scratch your ear or something like that. They flinch because they see that as an aggressive motion. Jesus was not abusive. He was not physically abusive at all. And they didn't have to be afraid of him physically. He's gentle with them. Picks them up in the arms. They weren't afraid. He was tender with them. Secondly, he was tender. And by that I mean he was not verbally abusive. Some parents would never touch their child, but then they curse them like a sailor, and they're very abusive to their children in a verbal sense. Jesus would never be like that. And I see the God of the universe sitting down, taking the child up into his arm, and he's tender, and he's gentle to them. And I see him as being very sweet. You say, would you use the word sweet in regard to a man? Absolutely, he's sweet to these children because I see just an innocent embrace. Isn't that sweet? If you saw that picture, if you saw a man in his position take up a child and cuddle him a little bit and just speak and be kind, wouldn't you think, oh, that's sweet? Isn't Jesus a gentle Jesus? I think that he is. And so I see him as being sweet here. And of course, I believe that he is loving. This is an unconditional acceptance. Very loving to all those kids that are there. I don't believe that he had two or three kids on his lap and then number four came along. He said, nah, you got snot running out your nose. You know, oh, no, you're a little bit dirty there. You're not what I expect. I don't see Jesus like that, do you? I think all the kids that were brought unto him, I think he took time with every one of them. Took them up into his arms. And so that's what we find within the passage. And I see that as a representation of his kindness, his gentleness. And so we also find in the verse 16, that not only did he take them up in his arms, but as I mentioned to you before, he put his hands upon them. His hands upon them, not in a negative sense, but in a very positive sense. Three qualities come out from this. I submit unto you that he is very caring. Him laying hands upon these kids express his sensitivity to their needs. The parents brought the children that he might have hold them, pray over them, and bless them. That's exactly what we find coming about here. And Jesus is a gentle Jesus. He is very caring. He's sensitive to who they are and to their needs, even as little children. Sometimes we'll ignore them. Oh, we're not concerned about your needs. We don't have time with that. We're too busy. And we need to be sensitive. Even very young children, you know what, as they express, you need to be sensitive to their needs. But this also tells me the second quality or characteristic is he's compassionate. Not only is he sensitive, but he's responsive to their needs because he did bless them. And so there's a difference between being sensitive and being compassionate because you may know about it but not do anything about it. You may know they have a need but never help them. And so your child might be cold, but you need to give them a blanket. They might be hungry and you need to give them something to eat. They might be scared. You might need to give them a hug and comfort them. You need to be understanding of that. Be caring, be compassionate, the Lord Jesus Christ was. And he took these children up in his arms and he blessed them. What a caring, tender Savior we have. And I believe this also lists for us then that he was unselfish. It was about them, it wasn't about him. He could have very easily said, sorry, I don't have time, take these children away. I'm dealing with the Pharisees, I'm dealing with the Sadducees, the scribes are right at hand here. I just don't have time for these kids. But he didn't do that. He rebuked the disciples for their insensitivity, and he scooped them up in his arms, he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them, and he prayed for them. That's the way Jesus is. And so he picks them up, puts his hands upon them. May I surmise two other things before we continue? And that is, I believe he was trustworthy. Trustworthy. They brought those kids to Jesus. Now, if he wasn't trustworthy, would you take your child to him? If he'd been known as an abuser, if he'd been known as an abusive individual verbally or any other kind of thing, would you bring your child to Jesus? You don't take your child to a doctor that you don't trust. You have confidence in the doctor, so you take the doctor to the child to the pediatrician because you trust. They brought these children to Jesus. Why? Because he was trustworthy. They had observed him. They knew who he was. And they thought, we need to bring our children to Jesus, which is a good thing. And so he was trustworthy. He had proven himself. And so he touched them, it says in verse 13. And so they brought him so that he would touch them. How many of you would take your child to somebody else so that somebody else could touch him? But they brought him to Jesus. And so we understand how compassionate he was, trustworthy, and they were not afraid of him. And he certainly was not busy. Back in verse 14, he says, suffer the little children. Permit it to be so. Let these little children come unto me. And then if you would, turn back to the book of Matthew chapter 18. I just want to remind you, and we're just going to read these verses, but especially the last verse, which will be verse 6. When you think about Jesus and his response to these children and his reaction to them and how tender he was, how gentle that he was, I believe that Jesus is a protector of children. I think he still protects children today, but you'll notice here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 down through verse 6. At the same time, the disciples came unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Now, he's using this illustration, isn't he? And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Do you think Jesus protects children? Verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's what you find about the Lord Jesus Christ and his approach to these little children. That's the picture that I see in the text. We pointed out a few things to you, and I trust that you see the picture of Jesus embracing these children and what kind of a gentle Jesus we have. Now back in our text, Mark chapter 10, verse 15, my last point is this, and this is my conclusion and all wrapped up into one. I see the power of the text, and it's rooted in verse 15. What's the point of this? What is Jesus doing here? Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. What is the power of the text? What we find here is that Jesus speaks of heaven and entering into heaven. That's what he brought up within the text. You have the kingdom of God, and you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. Actually, the discussion that he has here is in the negative. He uses the word not twice within the text. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter in. So it's a negative approach to the kingdom of God. And can we speak of the things of God in a negative sense and still be right? Absolutely we can. He does it here within the text. Now I said to you before about Jesus and who he is, and well, it can be negative. And sometimes as we preach about Jesus and the things of God, we just simply convey all the negative aspects to it. Let me offer you a few illustrations under this. In Acts chapter 10 and in verse 42, is he not the judge? I mean, God is the judge of all the earth. Acts chapter 10, verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead. Is it right to refer to Jesus Christ as the judge of the universe? Has God committed all judgment into his hand? Should you be afraid of the judge? Absolutely. Does he have power and ability and position? Absolutely. He's the judge. But that can be negative too, can't it? Back in Matthew chapter 7, if you desire to, you can turn back over there. Matthew chapter 7. This Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as judge is going to pronounce judgment. And we should preach judgment, and we need to testify that God is the judge and that hell is real and there's a heaven to gain. Well, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now that's the judge declaring judgment and justice upon those who are outside of Jesus Christ, even though they made a profession and acted like that they were in Christ. And yet here's the judge who says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." That's not very gentle, is it? That's not very kind. We see Jesus Christ as judge. He is one who pronounces judgment. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31, it talks about how he's going to administer justice. God raised him from the dead, and proof of his resurrection is that he's going to judge the world. I'll tell you, Acts 17, 31 discusses that. You will be judged by Jesus Christ. Go to one other text, Philippians chapter 2, just as an example. In the negative, we can pronounce him, and so we do declare unto people they're lost and they're undone, and hell is real, and judgment looms over them. We do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, if they're just fearful and see none of the positives, they'll not respond. Because all they see is this power that's over them. Here in Philippians chapter 2, you want to talk about Jesus Christ. The scripture here talks about how he reigns supreme. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, that it says in the text, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so we see, man, this is the sovereign God of the universe. But sometimes we just convey that to people, and we convey that to sinners, and they just see this harsh, cruel, mean judge. And I think that's a misperception. God is God. He is sovereign. But I see, as we demonstrate within the text, that he is the gentle Jesus. Aren't you glad for the gentle Jesus? But I remind you, though we can talk about him in a negative sense, we do have a gentle Jesus. And why do I take time to present the gentle Jesus? Because Romans chapter 2, verse 4, listen, the scripture says, the goodness of God leads to repentance. What draws men and women to Jesus Christ is not the fire of hell, it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. It's the grace that God bestows upon sinners and the mercy that he has upon them and the offer of eternal life unto them. It's the goodness of God that draws people to Jesus Christ. So we must declare the judgment. We must declare the justice. We must have people have an understanding of where they stand before the sovereign God of the universe. But then we must point to them, Jesus, who went to the cross, was crucified, buried, and risen again. Why? Because he loves sinners. Well, the goodness of God leads to repentance. And so I discussed with you today the gentle Jesus. Now let's make spiritual application under the power of the text, which we find here about how that unless you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you will not enter therein. So he speaks then, if you don't, this is what's not going to happen. You're not going to enter in. But then he switches to the positive. And he speaks about the positive ideals in a child. And so I submit unto you, dear sinner friend, you must become as a little child. What did we discuss earlier about the characteristics or qualities of a little child? They were simple, weren't they? My friend, do not be so complex and complicated. I've witnessed individuals, they just say, well, this doesn't make sense, and I'm trying to figure this out, and I'm trying to, you know, and this and that. And they make it so complicated, they cannot believe. They're not simple enough. You got to become as a little child. What else is a child? A child is trusting. Remember we talked about that? Trusting is, and the expression here is, a confidence in others. Trusting others. Some people know their need of Jesus Christ, but will not trust him. They don't believe in him. They will not respond to him because they do not trust him. Dear sinner friend, you need to be simple. Quit trying to figure it all out. You need to be trusting. What God has said, you can respond to that. That leads me, and of course it's very closely attached, is believing. Children believe. Because they trust, they will believe. And so you must accept at face value. You say, well, I can't figure it out. I'm trying to get this salvation thing all worked out. Quit trying to figure it out. Simply trust Jesus Christ. Believe what He said. Believe it to be true. And of course, that last quality characteristic that I gave you of a child is the child's responsive. And so if a child trusts and a child believes, he's going to respond. He will do what's asked. And the goodness of God leads to repentance. I say unto you, dear sinner friend, just simply know who Jesus is. And believe in Him. Trust in Him. Would you respond to Him? Did you notice when we went through the book of Matthew chapter 18, when I read in those verses, it said in verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the humility of a child, humbleness, the meekness of a child. Some people are lost and they remain lost. You know why? Because they're arrogant. They're self-righteous. And the gentle Jesus calling unto you, and you need to be simple, you need to be trusting, you need to be believing, you need to be responsive, and you need to be humble. I believe that Jesus demonstrated His velvet side. When I was back in college, there was a book that was being passed around that was called Man of Steel, Man of Velvet. And it was supposed to be for us men, if we know how to live and how we'd be strong, but yet be gentle. And so there's a book that you can go to the library and check that out. You can read it and help you men to be better men and yet be kind and gentle the way you ought to be. Strong yet tender. Is Jesus a man of steel and a man of velvet? Did He express His velvet side? I think so, when He had all those children come up and He put them in His arms and blessed them. So let me enumerate this very quickly and I'll be drawing this to a close. Did we not see that He was gentle? He was not physically abusive. He was tender. He was not verbally abusive. And He's not that way to sinners. He's not physically abusive to sinners. He's not verbally abusive to sinners. Sinner doesn't come to Jesus Christ and say, you know what, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to have forgiveness of sins. And He doesn't look at him and say, well, you dirty rat, you no good thing you. You're just lost and undone. Jesus doesn't react like that, does He? Why? Because He's gentle and He's tender. Remember, I use the word sweet. I think Jesus is sweet towards sinners. The goodness of God will lead you to repentance. I see that Jesus is loving. Remember that unconditional acceptance? Any sinner, repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll receive you. He'll not turn you away. Scripture is very clear about that. He says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will not cast out. Aren't you glad for the loving, unconditional response of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's also caring. We talked about that. He's sensitive to your need, dear sinner friend, even lost and undone. He cares about you. He loves you as His creation. And He's also compassionate. He responds to your need. And so proof of that is the sun that shines upon us every day, the rain that comes, and the food that you eat, and the health that God gives you, even though you're alienated from Him and an enemy against Him, God still is compassionate toward you. Do you not see the gentleness of Jesus Christ? I pray that you will. And so I close by saying that Jesus had proven Himself time and again. Remember, they brought Him because He was trustworthy. If they had any doubt about that guy and his character, they would have never brought their children to Jesus for Him to touch and to hold. But they did. You know why? Because they trusted Him. And sinner, I tell you today, Jesus is absolutely trustworthy. I know it by experience. And you can turn to Him. He has proven Himself time and time again. He is trustworthy. And then I remind you as I finish that He is not too busy for you. Here's the God of the universe ministering the kingdom of God to all those about Him, and He takes time for those children, scooping them up. Wasn't too busy, was He? And I want you to know, dear sinner, that Jesus Christ is not too busy for you. You say, well, I'd like to come to Christ, I'd like to be saved, but how do I know He's not out there on the backside of the universe creating other universes? You're thinking too much. He's not too busy for you. You come to Jesus Christ, you call upon Him, He'll save you. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And I point to you the gentle Jesus. But don't forget, He is God. He is sovereign. There is justice and judgment that awaits you if you don't repent. But aren't you glad He's loving and kind and offers you an opportunity that you might be saved? That's the gentle Jesus. So let's be sure to present Him as the Scripture presents Him. both God, sovereign, in control, great power, but yet gentle and kind and loving and compassionate. The gentle Jesus. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you stand, that God, as He speaks to your heart, perhaps you see Him in a new light, and maybe you're trying to then figure it out too much, and you just need to trust Him. You need to believe Him. Sinner, would you be saved today? And as Christians, you know, you ought to rejoice in what you hear today and the description of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's been gracious to you, hasn't He? He saved you. He's taken you up in His arms. He's blessed you. He's given you eternal life. Boy, you ought to rejoice in that. You ought to thank Him for that. And may God's grace rest upon us that we might emanate Him in our lives. Father, bless Your word to our hearts, and we ask You to save the lost, strengthen the saved. May we find great encouragement in knowing the gentle Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?